dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, Shane Combs and Jeremy Ward.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome back to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk online radio show. I'm Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com, joined as I always am by Jeremy Ward. And Jeremy, as we get into show 122, here's as we kind of hit the home stretch and our last probably three, four, five shows of spring, depending on which way we decide to go with it. Just some of your thoughts, your mindset maybe as you look back at the week that was in the SVC and maybe even peek ahead a little bit.
Well, the biggest thing that jumps out at me, Shane, is, you know, a little close call Friday night for Dena baseball, as you know, there's a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz going on at the softball game, and people heading to the baseball game afterwards, as Unita was able to build a pretty big lead. But, you know, just as talented as the Warriors are, we're able to find a way to win. You know, and that just, again, goes back to a lot of things we were talking about last week. But, you know, maybe more than anything, just baseball, softball-wise, the fact that, you know, the middle teams are jumbled in the middle, and, you know, the front runners, Adina and Westfall, are just kind of running away from everybody.
Well, they certainly are, and we're going to get a chance to break those standings down a little bit more later and kind of get your opinion a little bit on what you think all that means in terms of some of the feedback we've been getting from fans throughout not just our league, but maybe even some of the surrounding areas. Also want to take a look, Jeremy, anytime the calendar starts to turn to May, you can't help but start to peek ahead to track a little bit. I know early in the year, a lot of times with track, it's a little bit hit and miss in terms of teams that maybe put their best foot forward, if you will, in terms of, you know, the way they're going to line things up, and they don't want to give too many things away in terms of where they're going to put their depth, maybe when they're competing for some league titles and so forth later on. But you know, as you get to May, you get a lot of these throwers, you get some of these runners, they're really trying to hit that peak to where they're going to throw or run that at their very best here at the particular time, be it a league meet or into the postseason. Just some of your thoughts, Jeremy, as you start to do some of your early you know, predictions, if you will, just looking ahead to track some of the things that has your attention.
Well, you know, it takes a few weeks and, you know, a few larger invitationals and kind of get a feel for what everybody's thinking. And, you know, like you say, trying to create a strategy that's going to maximize your points as a coach. And, you know, we have some unbelievable talented individuals in the league. And that's evident, not only, you know, SVC wise, but very, you know, representative in the state of Ohio and beyond. You know, certainly congratulate Trevor Dottillion on a unbelievable accomplishment at the national level. Yeah. To pin relays this weekend. And, you know, I seen on Twitter, I just thought it was really, really, really cool situation that not only is he there, but, you know, Mr. Osborne, Unita's principal, is able to be there watching his daughter compete as well. And just, you know, a great moment for the area and for Trevor.
Well, it really is, and some of that depth is just phenomenal, and we'll get to know some of those names more and more as we get into the next couple of weeks. But, you know, the other thing, Jeremy, it jumps out at me as the calendar gets to May is you always have that first Sunday there. It usually seems when it falls is your sectional draw for baseball and softball. Later in the show, we'll get a chance to maybe break down some of the new procedure and see how that might influence it a little bit. But just some of your early thoughts on what you're looking at is it's about that time here as we're ready for the second season.
It is, and you know, we're so lucky. Probably the coolest thing that's happened the last couple of years is the fact that, you know, we get to experience the postseason in three different divisions.
Yeah, you know, with, yeah.
with Union and Paint Valley going 2-4 respectively. You're not just paying attention to a couple Division III sectionals, but you know you're really branching out and getting to see and learn about various schools throughout the area. And I think you've seen a difference in the scheduling. How there are some different schools on some of the league schedules that you haven't seen in the past. And anytime you have a chance to branch out and expose your brand, so to speak, I think it's an awesome thing.
Well, there's no question. And real quick, before we get into our first segment here, I want to let fans know on Crown Hill Golf Club, what an amazing deal they've allowed us to put on the website now, Jeremy. You'll find a link there on the front page. You'll go and print a coupon. This is good all the way through the end of August of 2015, so you can print it off as many times you want, use it over and over. 3 pay, 4 play. So you bring your foursome and pay the regular cost of 3 rounds of 18 holes in a cart, and a fourth member jumps on for free. That's good anytime, tee time required. Just call 740-986-GOLF. That's 740-986-3 for your tee time. What a great deal. Again, that's right on the front page of the website. Well, Jeremy, I'll tell you what, we had some great feedback from a few of our softball listeners this week. Unfortunately, we have some headlines that will remind us of football season, but moving forward, it does leave us searching for some new answers. Well, Jeremy, some of our lead feedback, if you will, some of the headlines jumping out at me, talks a lot of on the softball side. As I was referring there, as we led into the bump there from Bruce, it kind of reminds you a little bit of football with some of our biggest names going through some injuries and how it's definitely going to impact the overall league. Obviously, Morgan Geno was one of the earliest injuries we'd come across, and looks like she's going to go ahead and miss the entire year now as she's going to get it fixed up and try to get better. There's two things they were wanting us to talk here a little bit, Jeremy. One was from a scholarship standpoint. When an elite athlete like this is prepared to go to college and they go through the injury a little bit, from the college perspective, the university is still honoring the scholarship and those sorts of things. Just your thoughts on that, on how some of your experience, I know you've dealt with some of the collegiate level athletically, just how a lot of times a school will still try to stick with that athlete and work through that with some of the different options now if there had to be medical red shirts and so forth. Just talk a little bit about that.
Well, there's certainly a lot of different options, and you see it go different ways. But, I think first and foremost, just what they're able to do with surgery and rehab anymore is just unbelievable.
Sure.
A lot of injuries in the past that probably have cost high school athletes their collegiate careers now, or, as long as you're willing to rehab it and, seek appropriate sports med doctors, you come back and are really able to perform at an elite level. I know there's some ridiculous statistics about, college athletes, especially, since we're talking about softball, female athletes that come back from not only knee injuries, but sure, from shoulder injuries. And you'll see on a college roster, you're going to see a lot of kids that have experienced that at some point in time. So they're equipped to deal with it. And I know it's a shock to us and, locally, when somebody has that opportunity and falls due to injury, it's you worry about that. But at the end of the day, in the grand scheme of things, the colleges deal with that, and they're going to sit down and they're going to talk to you and let you know. And whether it's a red shirt or whether it's I've seen in the past, if it's long term, where they might enroll a semester late, you know, and start it that way to give you an extra year. There are a lot of options, but you know, first and foremost, you know, with the rehab and the doctors and everything that there are now, man, it's just amazing how quickly things turn around, and we certainly hope things are going well for Morgan.
Well, Jeremy, with you getting to see so much more of the softball, and I know you've become even more familiar with the collegiate level, I'll continue to throw this feedback at you. The other thing I was being asked that, you know, obviously I know she's a special, special talent, but people are asking me how, you know, we feel that Morgan's game will kind of translate to the collegiate level. Just your thoughts on that.
I was actually looking at some of the statistics and watching some video on some of the local players that, you know, Emily's played with in the past today, and, you know, many of them having tremendous success at the Division I, Division II levels. And you know, Morgan, and of all the kids that I looked at, Morgan's just as good or better. Strong body, great work ethic, great teammate, things like that.
Sure.
You know, that's what you look at, because collegiately you can't just be an individual phenom. You got to be able to fit with the team. And if you ever watch college softball, in particular on television, you see, you know, they're always, you know, there are all kinds of examples of, you know, team bonding, whether they're playing jokes on their coach when they're being interviewed by the TV crew, or, you know, whether it's, you know, they're, you know, just being on the rail and being loud. They're always together, and you don't see a lot of individualism there. So those kind of attributes are really big. And as long as you can, you know, fit in and be a part of that, you know, then your talents can take over.
Well, Jeremy, unfortunately, we had some more scary news out in Bainbridge this past week with Michaela Newland. You know, she missed the Piketon game the other night, and it's kind of still a waiting game. You know, the initial report came out a little bit of a panic of she was out for the year and so forth with the ankle continuing to bother her. The report that I was getting, the X-ray was negative. They're going to do some more tests. So right now, you know, she could be out a week, she could be out a year. It's kind of a waiting game. Obviously, from a Paint Valley perspective, if she comes back, they're capable of beating just about anybody in the first 2 to 3 rounds of the Division IV tournament. But really, beyond that, for every report I get from softball people, she's the real deal when you look ahead. And with her only being a sophomore, obviously you want to err on the side of caution here. Just your thoughts on Newland and the devastating news that would be for Paint Valley if this does end up being more of the, you know, 2 to 3 to 4 weeks compared to the 1 week.
Well, and I think that's where, you know, that's a completely different situation, because you're looking at, you know, especially for a pitcher, you're right in the peak of recruiting, because most of the bigger schools are going to go after their pitchers early. And, you know, that's not always the case. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, she wants to be healthy. And if it's something that she's having trouble getting over, you know, her best bet is going to be to take some time off, get some rest, get to where she's healthy and she's not endangering, you know, picking up bad habits that might lead to other injuries later on. And I know that's tough, because you're trying to be there for your team. But at the end of the day, you know, all of your teammates want what's best for you too. So those are difficult decisions. And like you said, you kind of got to figure out if it's a 1 week will rest will do it, or, you know, do you shut it down for the rest of the year? Those are difficult decisions to make, and there aren't very many high school athletes that are going to choose not to come back or not to play as soon as possible if that's an option. But, you know, with them and being in Division IV, they obviously have an opportunity for probably a little more tournament success than they would in a higher division. But, you know, I suppose you can always look at it from the standpoint that if they can get some experience in the games that she misses, maybe she comes back and they're a little stronger, not depending completely on her.
Well, the final thing in the softball side, Jeremy, this is pretty normal as we get to this time of year, and I'm sure it'll only pick up in the next week or so in the inbox, but it's the POI race. You know, when you take a talent like a Morgan Geno out and then a Michaela Newland starting to miss some time here, it starts to open some things wide open. You open them up a little bit here in terms of, you know, Westfall's obviously where you start when you look at a team that's realistically going to win the league by 4 or 5 games. Is it a Westfall player for sure? Do you go straight to the circle with a Williams? Do you take someone like Stone Rock on the other end of the battery with the bat as well? I had a night off earlier this week, so I went down and was doing some scouting down with Huntington Piketon and ended up being able to stand down on the end. I enjoyed getting the opportunity to watch some softball because that's something I don't get to do. And boy, was Elena Lytle good. And I know she's going to win our Athlete of the Week going away this week, throwing 3 shutouts, hit a home run. I think it was 3 doubles, doing some different things. But you know, boy, is she has the Lady Huntsman kind of in the right track, because they're all the way to 8-4 now, and they're in that 5-4 log jam there as they start to push Piketon for that 2-hole. Obviously, there's Dunn. I know Uniota with Blevins in the circle. Ward and Wright's had some hot streaks at the plate. Just, you know, a lot of names that are obvious all league players, but maybe tell us in your mind where you're separating the POI race. You going straight to Williamsport, or are you still kind of open for some other kids to maybe stick their nose in this thing a little bit?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people would say that all around, all things considered, all aspects of the game, Adrian Dunn is, you know, hard to mistake. And that's been the case throughout her career. You know, maybe a little more of the spotlight on her this year as a senior. But, you know, as Westfall continues to dominate the way they do, I'm not exactly sure who they would put up at this point in time. But I would probably have to say, you know, the edge would go that direction. You know, defending state champion,
sure,
running through the league. You know, certainly they have a couple kids that would be worthy, whether it is Stone Rock or Williams. That's an interesting situation all the way around, because what is impressive about Westfall, much like, you know, probably similar to Uniota's, you know, boys basketball team this year, where the talent is spread and what they do extremely well. They don't rely on one player to make all the difference.
Well, I won't start beating the dead horse already this early in the year, because I do it every year, but I still just don't understand until our league separates the pitching a little bit. Man, in softball, isn't it hard to go outside the circle and really talk player of the year without, you know, taking in the impact of someone's taking the ball and throwing every single pitch of the league season?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. And, you know, and that's the argument year in and year out, and I don't know, it's strange to me. I don't get it. I mean, it seems to me an easy fix, and baseball and softball, probably the easiest of all sports. Why you'd have to have an offense and defensive player of the year in some capacity.
Well, good stuff. I tell you, fans, the softball feedback's been outstanding week by week. Keep it coming. We'll keep throwing them at Jeremy and getting some great feedback, great discussion going. So, fans, stay with us. On the other side of the break, we have been asked to talk about the possibility of 2 shades of blue turning to gold. Well, Jeremy, Adina's week in baseball, you touched on it there in the opening a little bit, as they've improved to 9-0, 13-1 overall. We're doing this show on Sunday night, so it's the new second week. Coach's poll would come out right around lunchtime on Monday. I would think Adina would certainly crack the top 10, or probably the Division III voters need to take a look at, you know, what's going on there. So a team at 13-1 with their only loss to Jackson, who I believe was a top 10 Division II team last week, if I'm not mistaken. Right. So this week they beat Hillsborough, a D2 school having a nice year, and then they play a low scoring game where against Southeastern, where it's 4-2. They get stuck in a total slugfest Thursday night, piked in 17-12. I think they were down 9-2 in that game at one point. And then the very next night, you touched on this as well, Uniota jumps out on them, only to have Adina come storming back and eventually winning 10-9. So I look Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all close games, particularly those three league games. But again, it's just a team that's so complete. And you were talking about this last week, and again there in the opening, as I said, just it just tells you everything you need to know about a team that can win so many different types of games, Jeremy. That's really the type of team that it takes to go through the 14-game grind in the SVC.
No question, and I think when you're when some of your problems consist of how you're going to line your pitching rotation up and not just, you know, how you get your one or two guys, you know, the opportunity to pitch the most often. It does. I'm sure that is a problem. I never had that problem, but, you know, at the end of the day, when you have that kind of depth and you're looking for matchups, they probably have to outthink themselves at times with all the options they have, you know, for pitchers. But, you know, you see the depth in their lineup, and certainly they feel like they're not out of a game. And, you know, probably what Thursday and Friday show you, obviously, you know, these league teams are going to come to play, and they, you know, they're gunning for you and they're coming at you with their best shot. But the fact that, you know, good teams traditionally like Uniota and Piketon, you know, confident teams that, you know, can get that big of a lead, and you still have the confidence yourself to know that at the end, you know, you can score enough runs to win the game no matter what kind of numbers they put up against you. It's just really impressive, and it says a lot for, you know, what you're able to do in the tournament as well. I think being able to win close games, not only low scoring, but winning a slugfest.
Well, it is, and when you look through their lineup, you know, it's hard to even list the quote unquote stars in order, because again, they're just so dangerous top to bottom. I know I mentioned Elena Lytle is going to win the Herbie Strange Athlete of the Week going away on the girls' side. Now the boys' side was pretty close. A couple Paint Valley kids. I know Anthony McFadden was 10 for 13 this week. And then Mason McCloy threw 10 scoreless innings on the mound. They kind of split some votes, and it's looking like now Nick Chester is going to be our boys' winner. And as he hit a home run and had a 5 RBI night at the plate there in that Piketon win, but you know, you with Kunkel and Thomas, and the list goes on of so many kids. Corey's impacted that. You'll see about 4 or 5 pitchers a week in the box scores. You'll see 7, 8 different names over a 1 or 2 game spurt. So they're going to come at you in a lot of different ways, very similar to Westfall on the girls' side. And I guess that leads me to our next feedback point, Jeremy. Westfall softball and Adina baseball, with the rest of the league kind of beating up on one another, what would you say to the people who say the league has parity but is not that good?
Well, the not that good, I'm not, it might not be, it's not as good. I don't believe it's as good as it was last year. I don't think there's any question about that. However, I still think if you look at those non-conference games, our teams have not only won but have been fairly dominant in non-league games, as they normally are, and I think there's one of your truer tests. Again, you've got a lot of experienced pitchers that have faced the same hitters time and time and time and time again, so the league teams are going to have a little more success against each other for that reason alone. But, you know, all in all, that I don't know that the depth of talent is quite as good, but there's certainly still some really good softball teams.
Well, and I know on the baseball side, that comment's a little bit crazy. if I'm just being honest, it's a grind. It's one of those things where every night out, you're going to face a legitimate arm. You're going to face a team with a good catcher, with some really good catchers, which really can impact high school baseball. And then you're going to face a lineup that two-thirds to really even down in the 7, 8, 9 are very, very capable. So it'll be interesting to see as we get into the tournament talk here a little bit, because each team is going to be able to throw a pretty legitimate number one out there and give themselves a chance to win. So I'll tell you what, Jeremy, let's move on into our three up, three down, and let's go ahead and have this brought to our fans once again this evening by the Crown Hill Golf Club. Want to make sure they understand they can go to the website, click on the link, and print a great deal. Print it as many times as you want. Three pay, four play. Bring your foursome. Pay the regular cost of three 18-hole rounds and the fourth with the cart, and then the fourth member will jump on for free. What a great deal. You could really use all summer long. So, well, Jeremy, as we get up to our three up, three down, let's change it up a little this week. This week, feel free to answer baseball or softball. Fans, play along, and we'll discuss in some more detail after. So, Bruce, what do you have for us this week?
As we head down the stretch of the regular season, what is the number one thing you are most looking forward to watching?
Well, for me, I'm most forward to seeing how teams like Piketon and Adena in softball do in the second half. I think they really surprised some people and played really well at times. So I'm really interested to see how they finish out the season.
Jeremy, for me, I think it's the two chases for gold. I think as we get some of these rematches, we're already seeing it in the second half of the year a little bit. You're looking at teams trying to sweep one another. You do get a lot of splits just because, again, you're talking about some really good teams. But I also am really intrigued on the two chases for gold, some of the big matchups. You know, Westfall running into some of these hot pitchers. And then Adena as well, obviously going to get everybody's best shot. So it's going to make for some exciting games to get us everybody a little tournament ready.
Looking back on the season, what would you consider the most surprising, be it for the good or the bad?
Well, you know, we talked earlier about the injuries, and that obviously was probably the greatest shock factor. But, you know, on the softball side, the most surprising really has been, you know, Adena softball team above 500, you know, competing quite well after they had struggled to rebuild the past 2 years.
Well, I don't think there's any question. Really, on the baseball side, there's not a whole lot that has surprised me. It's kind of been about what you thought with Adena at the top, with everyone else capable, but maybe just not being able to get over the hump just yet. But then on the softball side, I couldn't agree with you more. The Adena softball has been quite a story. It's been something. I was a little bit shocked at the slow start from Huntington, but they seem to be showing some signs right here. So that'll be something maybe interesting to watch going forward as well.
There has been so much made of the new voting procedures for sectional seating. With the sectional draw coming up soon, how do you think the process will influence the drawing for baseball and softball?
Well, I'll be interested to see what Shane says on this, but I'm not sure that it will be quite as big a factor as it was earlier in the year. You know, the obvious reason is it's already happened twice, you know, in the fall and the winter. But the one difference in baseball and softball, there's a huge discrepancy in the number of games played that can factor into the seeding process, and it's not always an apples to apples comparison. And it's also very difficult from one end of the district to the other, you know, to find common opponents and, you know, to really stack yourselves up with each other. So there's always a lot of inconsistency, I feel, in the baseball and softball seeding. So I don't think it'll be that different.
Well, Jeremy, for this part, let me just answer on the procedure itself, and then afterwards we can talk a little bit more in detail about some of the great points you just made. From the process standpoint, the thing that concerns me the most for baseball, softball, would be the number of games that can be played in a week that we have coming up where it looks like we're going to have great weather. You know, in the other sports, they open this window up for you to put your profile in there or for people to eventually vote on. Well, in baseball and softball, you may end up playing three or four more games before teams actually vote, and how much will coaches be able to get on there and update and so forth. So that could really impact some things as the week moves forward. Well, fans, let us know some feedback here. The easiest way would probably be to go in the inbox at admin1@svcsportzone.com. But by all means, we'd love to have you give us a phone call, 740-569-3254. Or even let us know Facebook and Twitter. Always enjoy some of the feedback we get on there, some of the questions we throw out there as well. So, Jerry, I want to revisit this this number three. Our last question here on the three up, three down, I think, is one of the most intriguing to me. You make a great point with the number of games and discrepancy. I mean, it's very difficult sometimes to take a team that's, say, 12-3 and figure out how you're going to vote them compared to a team that's 7-1. You know, it's one of those things that it's amazing to me year after year. You go down there and you'll see different conferences that will almost double up some of the other conferences and games played. So that becomes very difficult. But I wanted to also touch on the point and get your take on this. When they open this up for you to put your profile, they'll give you about a 2-3 day window, and then they'll give you later in the week about a 48-hour period to vote. Well, in basketball, that wasn't the end of the world, because you might have one game, something like that, that you could add in or whatnot. But in a week like that we're going to end up having here, you could technically put your profile in tonight. Again, we're taping this on Sunday night. And then by the time someone votes on Friday, if you don't constantly go update, you could have played 5 games. Well, I guess you could kind of use that in your favor. Yeah, I mean, let's say you're sitting at, 16-2 and you put your profile in and then you lose 4 straight, but you never update it. Well, I didn't lie. I was 16-2.
Right.
So there's a huge gap to me in terms of spring sports where there could be a lot change over the next 3 to 4 days. Just your thoughts on how some of that could be manipulated a little bit. I mean, it always comes back to the integrity of the coaches trying to do the right thing and so forth. But, yeah, I tell you, sometimes in spring it's hard to find records and different things out there to research on your own.
It is. And, we talked a little bit about the discrepancies and statistics and how difficult it is, just because you don't maybe have a consistent bookkeeper or, whatever the reasons are. This time of year, you've got a million things going on. You've got teams changing their schedules last minute or adjusting game times for prom or trying to make up games a day of. There are so many variables, and again, that probably is the flaw. And I wasn't really thinking about that 3-day window, as they've had consistently in the other sports. And I know it came up kind of in those middle seeds in basketball. If you had a makeup game and maybe had a midweek, an extra game in the midweek, you could use that, especially if it wasn't on your original schedule. You could completely use that to your advantage. And I'm sure the same is going to be held true to baseball, because you and I both know that there's teams in the past where, we'll take the flip side and say a year where we don't have a lot of rainouts, and you'll have teams that might just cancel a non-league game this time of year and reschedule after the draw because they're not sure how that's going to affect them. So they just, cancel it and move on. So, again, integrity wise, if everybody's doing it on the up and up, I'm sure it'll work itself out. But even then, if your schedule's heavy in the back of the week and you want to go ahead and get that voting done early, that can make a huge difference in the way it shakes out.
There's no question. And we were encouraged by our district reps to wait a little bit more toward, or at least update closer to Wednesday, to give people a true indication of where we're at. So again, you hope it all works out. But I think what sometimes people don't understand is 2 games that are played on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or Wednesday and a Thursday that go one way or the other could mean the difference in a 4 seed and a 7 seed. And you're talking about a huge difference in draw there. So it'll be interesting just to kind of look at it. I've been real patient with it just because I'm very open-minded to where I believe this whole thing is going. And if this is the route we have to go, then I'm open-minded to kind of go through it. Well, I'll tell you what, Jeremy, let's before we get out of here, I've got a couple things here. One is in our Have a Clue Blue. And the feedback from last week, we were talking about pace of the game. We were talking about working with Little League kids. And they were mentioning a little bit about what they're using in some of the minor leagues and eventually maybe in the major leagues, and they're going with, you know, fines and so forth. And it's the pace of the game of the batter getting in and out of the box. I just, you know, I always thought of you more of as kind of a traditionalist a little bit in terms of your respect for the game and so forth. I just wondered what your take was on the batter getting in and out of the box, maybe messing with the batting gloves, getting the sign from the coach each time. Yeah, how would you handle that as an umpire? As a coach, how do you want to see the umpire handle it to keep the game kind of moving without maybe, as some of we true baseball people would say, not tarnish the game?
Well, I think what you don't do is you don't put the watch and the clock on it. I mean, you have a basic idea. A good umpire probably even just feels the guy out his first at bat. You know, what is his routine? And if he thinks his routine's a little longer than it needs to be, then he says something to him. And I think it's as simple as that. And if you see variations from that later in the game, then, you know, I don't have any problem with speeding it up, because I think, you know, when you talk about a traditionalist, we don't need to meet 45 times. You know how to play the game. You just, you know, you talk to your coach and you move on. And I tell you what, it's something that I don't know if I've just been watching for it more or what, for whatever reason it's caught my attention, but I think the softball games have really drug on a little bit this year. I think there's way too many coaches meetings, and the kids come, they don't just take one step out of the box. They're going halfway to the third baseline. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but those games, they need to pick up the pace. There's just too much waste, too many extra conferences that aren't really getting anything accomplished.
Well, it really is an interesting thing when you put it in the perspective of the umpire's role, because it does become difficult, with timeouts and discussions and so forth. And, you know, you'll go out to talk to a pitcher sometimes, and, you know, obviously the umpire will kind of, again, feel out the situation and kind of walk out there slowly behind you and say, okay, coach, let's go and pick it up a little bit. But let me throw this at you as a coaching thought, because I almost wonder if this doesn't have something to do with the way it slows down at the major league level. At the higher levels of baseball, your head coach or your manager, if you will, instead of being at third base, is in the dugout. And I've always been intrigued by this. I've had discussions with people about this in high school baseball over the last 4 or 5 years. And you know as well as I do, a lot of times, if this were to happen, and I know this does happen that way at some of the higher divisions where there's more paid coaches and more, you know, people involved, just your thoughts on the manager, the head coach being in the dugout with the coach out at third base. Again, that's maybe a little bit more time, a little bit more of a relay, a little bit of a middleman, if you will. But I know there's a lot of times where what's so unique in baseball, Jeremy, is a head coach, I'm very rarely with my guys. When they're on the field, I'm in the dugout. And when they're in the dugout, I'm on the field. Right. And it's very difficult. It's where you really want to have great leadership. You want to have great assistant coaches and different people involved. But I've had some people kind of talk to me about this a little bit and about how they think that has a lot to do with the slower pace at the higher levels. But they wondered if there was something to it that would help high school coaches. Just your thoughts on that topic.
Well, I know that's something that I've had conversations with various people about over the years. When you have – I mean, most people won't do it just because that's what they do as far as coaching third. But I know of a couple situations where, you know, longtime coaches and with longtime assistants, sure, they basically make themselves the bench coach and they let their base coaches go. But it's so rare in high school, and I think there is some merit to that. Also, you just have such advanced scouting that there are so many things that are happening on every play, so many things being relayed from the dugout to one, you know, player on the field, maybe then on to other players on the field. So there's these little things going on, and obviously at the higher levels, it's, you know, there's more to it. You know, at the high school level, I don't think that I don't think that it would be nearly as effective, and it certainly wouldn't be very efficient with the head coach in the dugout. But I always wondered the merits of that, you know, the opportunity to talk to your pitcher in between innings, you know, because if you're the head coach and the pitching coach, when are you talking to your pitcher? You know, how are you, you know, you're basically yelling over in the dugout, unless you're lucky enough to have a, you know, a tight, you know, first and third base line, sure. You're rarely going to be able to just step over and talk to your team in the dugout. And then if you're on the road, do you go to the opposite dugout, you know, the opposite side and coach the other base so you can be closer to your dugout? That it just doesn't happen. So, you know, those are interesting points. And, you know, supervision, I always wonder about that. You know, the supervision's a concern
very
too,
difficult.
Because
yeah,
you don't necessarily know what's going on. And,
well, I know going back earlier in my career to when I was a JV coach and stuff, it's hard enough to get, you know, most schools have taken your paid coaches away now, so it's hard enough to get volunteers at the varsity level, but more and more JV coaches are stuck on an island by themselves, and that really becomes difficult. If you're a JV coach, especially going on the road with, say, a roster of 12, 13 kids, that's difficult.
Well, how many, and not only in JV, I've seen a couple of varsity situations this year where, you know, there either wasn't a first base coach, or the first base coach was just kind of filling in and you know, just jumping out there to serve a purpose. And I don't know, that doesn't work. I mean, that doesn't work at all. And you can't be successful if, you know, you're number one, your kids don't know exactly what they're going to get down there. And number two, if everybody doesn't have an expectation of a role that they're going to fulfill. So, you know, maybe that has a lot to do with not having paid coaches, but there's really just no excuse for things like that to happen, you know, for the safety and for the, you know, level of play and the potential of risk, not only winning and losing, but of injuries without that, you know, on the field and in the dugout for that matter.
Well, no question. I think what's so intriguing about this is to throw it into the Have a Clue Blue is the situations that puts an umpire in and some of the game management stuff. And it does have a lot to do with pace of the game. It can have to do with sportsmanship and a lot of different things. So great question. Great discussion that I've had. I'm looking forward to having more and more. I can't say enough about the incredible feedback we're getting on the softball side. Obviously, I get a lot of baseball discussion all the time just because of being a coach. I get to talk to coaches, players, parents. Had some really nice baseball conversations, some really nice comments from some opposing schools just on the website and in the SVC Sports Talk. Really, really appreciate that. Very kind. So I'll tell you what, Jeremy, a lot of fun. Look forward to keep on doing it here the next couple of weeks with some tracks starting to pick up a little bit more competitive. And we'll get down the home stretch here of these league races as well as some of the tournament draws. And we'll start to break down some tournament talk. So, fans, I'll tell you what, until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the fine people at DBK Media Services, and for Jeremy Ward, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.